Today we're going to visit with upland game biologist RJ Gross and talk about the recent pheasant crowing counts. I'm Mike Anderson with the North Dakota Game and Fish Department. RJ, explain to our viewers, what is the pheasant crowing counts every spring?
We have around 100 predetermined routes that are spread across the state. They're 20-mile routes, and there's 10 stops in each route. And you'll drive every 2 miles, you'll stop, take a break, get out, listen for the crows for 2 minutes, write that down, and then move that on, repeat that 9 times. We do those 3 times throughout the survey period, it's a 6-week period, and then we use that. You know, we've been doing it for 50, 60 years. We've got a good long-term data set. We can compare it year to year, 5-year, 10-year, and long-term data.
RJ, what'd you guys find this year? And kind of split it up in the 4 sections of the state.
Yep. For pheasant management, we have 4 different sections of the state, and that's based on basically pheasant populations and a little bit, you know, habitat. The whole state was down this year 22% compared to last year. Breaking it down by districts, starting in Northwest, that was the best one this year. It's only down 4%, which is basically unchanged. And that's good news because they had those late April snowstorms, you know, had a lot of snow, a lot of ice, and, you know, we were worried that there's going to be some mortality from that. But we really didn't see that through the crowing counts, and that's good. I think a lot of that could be attributed, you know, most of the state had a pretty mild winter, so the birds should have been in good condition. They didn't, you know, it wasn't really too cold. Even during that storm, it was never, you know, in the negatives, things like that. So that came through all right there. Moving to the Northeast, they were down 42%. And I know that sounds like a big number, but it's not exactly pheasant country. And last year for crowing counts, that was up over 50%. And, you know, when you have very small numbers, like 5 crows per stop, when that goes down to 3.5, there's your 40%. And that's kind of, you know, coming back to normal. Around that, those 3 crows per stop, that's about what it used to have. Moving to the Southwest, kind of, you know, where lots of people like to go, the Southwest is down 23%, which is concerning. You know, they had a good winter, but, you know, that drought, you know, the lingering effects of that drought are still there. You know, everything, a lot of stuff didn't grow up. If it did grow up, it was hayed, it was grazed, it was, you know, and I know it came out in our brood surveys that production wasn't as good down there, but it wasn't very good survey conditions for our brood service either, you know, in that drought. No dew, the pheasants, they could just dry off if there was dew anywhere because the vegetation was so low. But you know, they have lost the most CRP grasslands in the state the last few years, and that's gonna catch up to the pheasant populations. Moving to the Southeast, it was worse this year, is down 33% compared to last year. And that's kind of to be expected. They had the worst production by far last year. It's, you know, it's still good habitat where there's habitat left, but it's, you know, before the last few years, that had been where we lost a lot of CRP, a lot of grasslands, and there's, you know, that's probably where the most row crop conversion is happening, and they had very bad spots for the drought. So it wasn't too big of a surprise, and they actually did have a little bit of the winter this year. They had quite a bit of snow down in that area, and, you know, it's really wet this spring, so the decline is kind of expected there.
RJ, let's kind of bring this down. You kind of touched on it a little bit, but you said the statewide it's 22%.
Yep.
Explain that. I mean, how many crows are in a typical stop or typical survey? Explain that.
Yep. So usually that the statewide crowing average is, you know, right around the, you know, 15. It's been 15 this year. You know, it's closer to 11. So the decrease, you know, it sounds like a big number, but it really isn't. And, you know, and this is, we're looking at, it's not a total population count, it's pheasant density. How many pheasants are in one area? You know, the better population count that we do is our late summer brood surveys, where we're actually, you know, counting every pheasant. For the crowing counts, we're only looking at adult roosters. We don't count hens, and it's basically indice of how the breeding population is going to come into this summer, and we'll use that, you know, compare year to year. And when we combine those with brood surveys, crowing counts, and wing surveys that we do, the hunter harvested wings, that's when you get a really good picture.
So you guys are really busy in the spring, going through wing envelopes. Mm-hmm. Explain what you found there from last year.
Yep, yep. Hunters, they can send in their hunter-harvested wings from pheasants, sharp-tailed grouse, Hungarian partridge. We'll go through those, and we're looking at adult to juvenile ratio, and it's kind of another metric that we can use and to kind of back up our brood survey data. And it came through this year, at least for pheasants, you know, there was two juveniles to one adult. So every two envelopes we'd open would be juveniles, there'd be one for an adult. Usually for pheasants, it seems that 3 to 4 range is kind of when populations are increasing. So kind of going back with, you know, the brood survey wasn't as good of conditions for surveys with the no dew. You need that dew for the pheasants to come out. So it kind of backed up that survey that the production just wasn't there last year.
Okay, let's talk habitat. I mean, a year ago, mm-hmm. we were in a major drought,
yep.
most of the state.
Yep.
A lot of green grass this year. How does that benefit these pheasants?
It's amazing what a year can do. I mean, you know, the grass is 3 times as tall as it was, and it's good. It's a good start. Yes, the drought was still lingering, and you know, people are probably getting tired of me saying that, but it's the grass that was there when the hens were probably starting to initiate their nests wasn't very good. You know, it wasn't very high. The stuff didn't grow, it was hayed or grazed. But we got, you know, those April snowstorms, and even we got timely rains, and you know, you look at the habitat now, it's good. You know, everything's nice, lush, green, pretty much most of the state. There are some places that are a little too wet, like the east. I'm worried out there that a lot of the, you know, the low-lying areas where the pheasants like to nest are probably either wet or underwater type of thing.
So this information from the pheasant crowing counts really doesn't give you a good idea of what the fall hunting season is going to be like.
Nope. This is more, like I said, for pheasant densities. How much, you know, the breeding population of adult roosters is across the state. But we use that in combination with our brood surveys and our hunter harvested wing envelopes that people send in, and that's how we get really good fall predictions.
So we'll have a good idea at the end of August, roughly.
Yep. We'll start our late summer roadside counts July 20th, and we'll go all through August, and you know, that usually mid-August we get enough data in where we can kind of make an educated guess on how the fall is going to be for hunters.
Okay, well, we'll talk in September, October.
Sounds good.
A lot of great information, RJ. Thank you.
Thank you.